My friend is here. It's amazing. He's here this time. Yesterday he was sleepy, had coffee. Owen Schroeder is here. Smart guy. He is a political activist and commentator for the Infowar.com. And you can find him on Twitter at All I Do Is Owing. Isn't that nice? I like that title. Owen, welcome.
Well, it's great to be here, Jesse. And I wish I was going to be out on the yacht with you later tonight. Man.
I know. Isn't that amazing?
You're swanky out there.
Ain't nothing like a black man on a yacht.
Yeah, you must be angering those limousine liberals out there.
Amazing. But I'm looking for, I like talking to those women clubs. So there, lots of nice ladies shows up and they really want and love America. Sorry about the screw up yesterday with the interview there.
Well, you know, technology can be funky and we deal with censorship too. So it's just part of the frustration, but glad to be on here with you. It's always fun. We have our monthly interviews. You come on with me on the War Room. I come on with you, and we always have a good time.
Yeah, it's amazing. What type of person are you? People want to know.
That's a open question there.
How would you define yourself?
I think, you know, Jesse, I've changed a lot. I think if you knew me when I was a younger man, in my early 20s or even a teenager, you wouldn't even believe who I've become, quite frankly. Specifically, you know, I came out of sports media. I don't know if you're aware of that or not, your audience, but I came from sports media. So I was a big jock growing up, played sports, covered sports. By the time I was a senior in high school, you know, and I wasn't the best player on varsity, I realized you're not going to be an athlete. So you might as well just go into sports media. So that's when I started really taking that seriously. And I'm 29 now. I think it was not when I was 24 going on 25, I started transitioning into politics. And that was because I realized how important it really was. You know, growing up just watching sports or whatever entertainment in America, you can kind of fall into the false sense of, yeah, everything's always going to be here. My life is always going to be fine. Yeah. I'll always have electricity. I'll always have food. I'll always have my freedom and my rights. Well, you come to learn real quick that's not the case when you kind of look around the corner and you see what's going on. So that kind of turned me into, I don't even know. I mean, I'm obsessed, quite frankly, Jesse. It might even be psychotic how obsessed I am with really just trying to learn the mysteries of life, I think, more than anything. Who's pulling the strings for the things that we see? Who decides what becomes a big news story? You know, who can drop two towers in New York City? Who can potentially burn a church to the ground if it was indeed arson? So these are the types of things, and then realizing that the media is not going to be there to tell me the story, and I can't trust the government, who's on record been lying to us for decades. I mean, it's almost fun and exhilarating to learn that, but then it's also, and I'm sure that you know this, you've taken up different battles, specifically with Bond and Rebuilding Men.
Yeah.
You know, it's a burden. You don't mind carrying it because there is a motivation there, but you ask what type of person I am. I'm kind of just obsessed with news and information, and then being able to disseminate that to my audience with the War Room as good as possible. So, I mean, I'm intense. I'm focused. I don't have a moment of boredom in my life for at least the last 5 years.
Yep.
But you know what? A lot of people are surprised how I am in person off air, because I'm really intense and focused, and I can get sometimes loud on air. But off air, I'm pretty laid back. I get along with everyone, Jesse. And so I think that most of us are kind of the same way. When we talk about these issues, when we talk about the things we care about, we're focused, we're passionate. But hey, we can sit those aside. We can knock back and just relax and not have to be obsessed with all of that.
That's right. Absolutely. So you love America, right?
Well, yes. I mean, I realize, you know, growing up, my dad always told me, you know, you don't realize how lucky you are. You don't realize how privileged you are. You don't realize how blessed you are. You know, you take this for granted. Well, you learn real quick when you look outside the United States, or you even travel outside the United States, how great you really have it here. I mean, that's what I love about this country so much that people don't understand. There's nowhere else to go. People flee tyranny. People flee oppression. People flee everything to come here to escape that.
Yeah.
Man, if we don't have this, if we don't have this last bastion of freedom, there's nowhere to go. I can't go to Mars. I don't want to go to Mars, Jesse. I don't know about you. I'm good here on Earth. So we need to protect America, and we need to protect Western civilization and culture, because to me, I don't want anything else, and it's the last bastion of freedom and independence on planet Earth.
Well, I can tell you that I know, even if others won't admit it, that white people are hated. They're under attack around the world. And I've noticed that most white people will not fight back. They won't stand up and speak up and protest and do what they need to do. So I believe that white people are saving money and they are moving to Mars or somewhere. So I'm saving my money.
Not me.
I'm saving my money only so I could go wherever they're going. I'm not staying behind.
Well, you don't know. Maybe that yacht you're getting on tonight, maybe it just comes out of the water and you're just like, oh, I guess that's it for me.
Well, wherever y'all going, I'm going. But I want to ask you this. I know that Christians, white men and men, period, are under attack. They hate it around the world. I want to know from you, being a white male, what does that feel like on a daily basis when you're in public, when you're at an event, or when you're just alone, and knowing that if you spoke the truth about something, or if you disagree with the people of color, or you disagree with women about certain issues, or what does it feel like to be a white male, knowing that you are hated and you are not allowed to be an honest white American male?
Well, Jesse, I'll be honest with you. I'm the type of person that has no fear. And growing up in St. Louis, you know, it's a city that has a history of racial tensions. But growing up in St. Louis, you know, you don't think about that too much. I mean, everybody kind of gets along. Everybody kind of just minds their own business. And I don't know if that's something that's rare to the Midwest still. And on the coast, you don't really have that as much. But the whole racial animus, you know, isn't really as strong in St. Louis as it is in some other cities. I just noticed that by traveling and doing my political business.
Right.
But, you know, Jesse, this is something that you and I have been talking about for a while. And because I don't really get impacted by it too much, like I said, growing up in St. Louis, I mean, I don't really care. But I will say this, because we've been talking about this for a while, and I know, yep, this is something that you preach. You wish that white men would stand up for themselves.
Absolutely.
like black men did years ago to make America a better place.
Yes.
And so what it's like for me, Jesse, is whenever I deal with that stuff, it doesn't really move me or change anything about me or make me feel any emotion per se. It's like a gnat in my ear, and it's just kind of buzzing around. You know, you just kind of swat at it. It doesn't really impact your day, but it's kind of an annoyance. But I don't know, something happened to me. I think it was either Tuesday this week or Monday earlier this week on the War Room, and it was some stupid thing. But it was a hip-hop artist who had a meeting with, I guess, her corporate overlords, and she starts complaining about how white people make money. And I'm just sitting here scratching my head like, why do you always have to blame white people? Like,
that's
why,
right,
is it white people are always the one you're projecting everything onto? And I kind of broke it down, and there's some other angles. But it made me realize, and I've always seen it, it just has never bothered me, so I never really responded to it. But it really made me realize there really is a hatred. I mean, it's like it's beyond a hatred. It's like a punching bag. It's like they feel like the white man is there for them to blame for everything, for,
yes,
them to use as a stress reliever. And then somehow that like lifts a weight off their shoulders. And if you just blame the white man, then you don't have to actually, I guess, do something for yourself or whatever the case may be. And so, again, I'm just sitting here like, you know what? Screw you. It doesn't matter whether you're white or black or brown or anything in between. Everybody in this country has the same opportunity. Might some people have to work harder than others? Absolutely. The world is always going to be that way.
That's right.
But it's not going to matter based on your skin color. And quite frankly, Jesse, if you're smart and you actually want to, if you actually believe that your skin color makes a difference in this country, if you're smart, you'd realize that not being white is something you can take advantage of.
Yes.
I mean, you can take advantage of affirmative action. Now, whether you think that's legit or not is another debate. But the point is,
yep,
there are opportunities out there for quote-unquote minorities in this country. But, it was something that never really affected me or I never really cared about. I saw it, but I don't really get into the racial stuff. I feel like talking about it just doesn't help. But it hit me the other day watching this young girl. She's my age. She's a big hip hop star. She's worth millions of dollars. And quite frankly, I think music wise, she's not very talented. But hey, she gets naked. She shows her butt and her boobs off. So she makes it the music industry. And she's sitting here bitching about white men who pay her money to make her porn, or excuse me, her music. And she's like, oh, these white guys getting rich off me. It's like, they're making you rich. And yeah. So, it's just ridiculous. And, you know, Jesse, I don't know. I sent an article to your producers, and it was about something that's happening in your backyard in Inglewood.
Yes.
With the new stadium. And I wanted to get your take on this because I think this is a very dynamic issue. And it's one that needs to be talked about. But the problem is we always want to boil it down to race instead of talking about the real thing. So they say, oh, this is rich white people coming in and kicking black people out. Okay, no. What it is, yes, a guy that has money wanting to develop a plot of land that's currently considered low-income area, and he wants to renovate and just kind of, re-energize this area. There's going to be new buildings, new this, new that. And some of the people that have lived there, they don't want it. And they're saying, oh, I'm not going to be able to move here. I'm not going to be able to live here. I'm not going to be able to afford the rent. So part of you says, well, that's kind of sad. But then the other part of you says, well, that's the free market. And if somebody's going to come in and increase the value of that property, that's just how it goes. So, but what made me want to talk about this, because in the story, they're literally blaming white people.
Yeah,
it's the same thing. And they're saying, this is a black enclave. And to me, that's just racist. So because an area is low income, you consider it a black enclave? I mean, what type of racism is that?
I know. Daniel, my producer, told me about this story this morning. The Los Angeles Rams are building a new football stadium in Inglewood, California. And now the blacks over there, some of the blacks are complaining about gentrification in Inglewood. And what you're saying is that they're saying the white people coming back in, they're taking the land, they're raising the rents, they're doing this. I am so sick of black people complaining about white folks or anybody. I want to throw up every time I hear it. Look like they would be ashamed to complain all the time about everything and blame white people. They literally act as though they believe white people are superior over them. It's not the white people who are doing that. It's the blacks who are doing that. And so they're complaining now that the whites are moving back in Inglewood where the opportunities are. And instead of them creating wealth for themselves, get up and get a job, buy land, do what it takes to have money, they are blaming it. It's not the white people's fault that most black people decide to be poor. And I don't want to keep my land rates cheap just because black people may have to move. That's dumb. I like that.
What you said there. I like what you said there, because with this new stadium complex moving in, there's going to be all kinds of new job opportunities. And, I mean, Stan Kroenke, this is a very successful businessman. He's got plenty of money. People are going to make money working these jobs. I mean, someone's going to have to work these jobs. They're not going to be bad paying jobs, obviously not high income, but I mean, you're going to make money.
That's right.
And so, but you know what it is? And I kind of had this experience, Jesse, and I know that you've wanted to ask me some personal questions. So I'll kind of give you a little glimpse into it. When I was younger, really when I kind of got away from God, and it was when I was in college, I was getting away from God, and it was obviously part of the indoctrination and the anti-God college system. I realize that now, but at the time you don't really sense it. So I was getting away from God and I was kind of just moving more towards my degenerative behavior, trying to stay focused and everything. But I got in some trouble. I got in some trouble when I was 20, typical stuff that you would expect from a college student, but I got in big trouble because of my, we'll just say, partying antics. And I ended up in quite a bit of trouble with the law. And if you look at my case and everything, and I don't know if you want to do it now or we can do it some other time, I pretty much got screwed by the law. In fact, a lot of my black friends in St. Louis, they made jokes. They would say, "You're black," basically because I was I was working to pay off attorneys. I was riding public transport everywhere. You know, it was a joke. But what I went through during that time, Jesse, is because I believe I was treated unfairly by the government and I had all these examples to use, the government was always my excuse. Oh, the government's holding me back. Oh, it's the government's fault. And so for a year or two there, that held me back. It wasn't the government holding me back.
That's right.
Sure, I was probably, whatever with the government and everything, and it made life more difficult for me. But that wasn't holding me back. I was holding me back.
Absolutely.
Me blaming the government was holding me back. And so one day, and this is all part of my changing process, but one day it just hit me that it was me holding me back and not the government. And so that same thing can be applied, I think, to many different things, where in this example, someone just wants to blame the white man for everything.
Yes.
And the funny thing, Jesse, is white people do it too.
Yes.
White people blame the white man for everything too.
I know. I don't know if you know this or not, but why don't majority of white Americans, especially white men, just tell the blacks to shut up? I'm not your fault. You are your own fault. You're responsible. Because when you really look at your own life, you take a self-examination of your... when one takes self-examination of him or herself, you really see that you are to blame for the way your life is. If the decisions you made, the way you live, the way you treat others, saving your money or not saving your money, making babies out of wedlock, getting involved with the wrong kind of women, it's you. It's not someone else. Why don't y'all tell the black people that? I know you do, but why don't I hear that loud coming from the white community?
Well, you're the black Yoda, so obviously you're the master at that. You know, the angle that I usually take, though, is when people come up to me and they start claiming things about me or whatever because I'm white, I just spin it on them and I say, well, you're a racist. And they're like hit with shock. They're like, oh. I'm like, well, you're judging me because of my skin color. That's literally racism. Now, for some reason, people, I don't know how to leap this hurdle, Jesse, but they literally don't think you can be racist against a white person. So I guess they don't know what racism is. I guess they just want to say discrimination is what they're meaning to say. But that's what I usually do. I flip it on them. I say, do you realize you're judging me because my skin color? So you're actually being racist against me. And that's when they kind of get defensive and they say, oh, no, I can't do that. But, you know, for me, Jesse, I can't speak for everyone on this as far as why they wouldn't answer that question. I would honestly say they're probably scared. But I don't have that fear. Like I said, growing up in St. Louis, and that's the other thing too. Like, you notice, like, Alexandria Cortez gave a speech yesterday in front of a black audience and she changes the way she speaks. So
I know.
You notice, but like, to me, that's a real tell. She doesn't actually hang out with black people. She never has, because why else would she be talking like that? I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, if I was black and someone was coming up to me talking to me like that, I wouldn't want to be their friend. I'd be like, who is this poser? What's wrong with them?
That's right.
So I don't really, when I approach a situation like that, Jesse, I'm not thinking, oh, this person is black. What am I going to say because they're black? Or, oh, this person is black. How am I going to talk to them because they're black? I have the same approach, believe it or not, the same vernacular and accent whenever I'm talking to anyone. So it's not really something I consciously think about. Until they do try to play the race card, and I'm like, well, now you're being racist against me. But I think honestly, white people in general, I guess white men, are just afraid of being called racist.
But why? No, I wouldn't be afraid of that word.
This is the fear mongering in the media. This is the brainwashing. I mean, this is literally what the propaganda has done. And I just feel that maybe they've never even talked, maybe genuinely some of these white people have never even talked to a black person. So they really are like, oh, I don't know, maybe black people hate me because I'm white, or maybe I'm bad because I'm white. I don't know. I can't really speak to that. But there's definitely some level of like scared of your own shadow. You know, if a black person calls you racist, like, oh, yes, I'm bad, I'm white. And it's just like, you know, why can't people just get, and you know, Jesse, this is the amazing thing. And I realized this the other day. Like I said, I grew up watching sports, playing sports. The color of an athlete's skin, the country the athlete come from, never crossed my mind ever growing up. Not once.
Yeah.
Not once.
Yeah.
And the other day, this Sunday, I was watching sports, trying to get away from it all, and I had the news on in the background. And I was kind of monitoring the news, and for the first time ever, the news was talking about some racial issue. And for the first time ever, I was watching the sporting event through the lens of the media race baiting, and I'm sitting there thinking, oh, this ball player's from this country. I wonder if he thinks about that. This ball player's from this country. I wonder if he thinks about that. This ball player's black. I wonder if he thinks about that. And then it hit me. I was like, oh, my gosh. 29 years of my life watching sports, playing sports, going to sporting events, never once did I think about race, identity, country of origin, until the media made me think about it.
That's right.
And it just hit me. It's literally, they are the one pushing this racial division. They're the ones pushing this race baiting. The average person doesn't care what color your skin is or what country you came from. Are you a good person? Do you treat others the way that you want to be treated? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. It's all about character.
I have a, let me just tell Joel, don't stop at the bottom of the hour. I want to talk to Orin all the way through the break. So no break. Because I got some good stuff I want to ask him. He's so smart. You remind me of one of the producers of my TV show, The Fallen State TV, Savage Travis. He had the same personality. One day he woke up and he like, the hell with this. I'm going to be me. I don't hate anyone. I'm not going to be afraid to tell the truth. But I want to say this to you. I was thinking, there is one reality that is real, and that is most black people today hate white people. They literally hate white people because they've been so brainwashed for the last 70 years or so. And they're coming from broken homes where the hatred started in the home, the anger starts in the home. But they've been told it's white people. But most black Christians, men and women, non-Christians alike, hate white people. They literally do. But they've been allowed to get away with it for so long. And that's why I want white people to start speaking up so that these folks can get some reality that white people are not walking around every day thinking about how to keep the Negroes down. They have their own issues to deal with.
Well, and I think that that's the key. And quite, you know, I don't even necessarily blame young black people because I think that that is the propaganda that they're fed.
Yes.
And even the hatred that they may have, I don't even think that it's legitimate. I think it can be easily washed away. For example, I don't want to get into my whole life story. I mean, we can if you want, but I mean, I worked in the inner city of St. Louis. It's as black as it comes.
Yes.
So it's like this whole thing too. I mean, I could go on and on and on, but it's like we don't want to sit here and play the game of how I'm not a racist.
Right.
But
that's right.
I do think that part of the problem is, and I don't even know, because you don't force integrate, obviously. But, you know, I think a lot of black people or a lot of white people just simply don't. They probably know black people, hang out with black people, but there's no real camaraderie. And so maybe a black person thinks, oh, this white person doesn't want to hang out with me because he thinks I'm lower. Or the white person is like afraid of the black person and is like, oh, I'm afraid this person hates me. When it's all just in their mind, it's all just created by the media, and just a simple interaction can put all that to rest, just put it all to rest. And that's kind of what I believe. And so, I mean, I just look at it and I think it's not real. The hatred's not real.
Right.
And as soon as you're actually, you know, confronted with a situation to say, wow, do I really hate this person or why do I hate this person? That's when you can kind of make that intellectual leap to say, oh my gosh, there was no reason for me to hate this person from begin with. What made me feel that way? And that's when you kind of start to reverse engineer all the propaganda and realize, wow, I was put into this place by media, by propaganda, this place of hatred that's really been keeping me down. Wow, I my eyes are open to this now. And so, yeah, like you said, it's just like, screw this. I don't want to sit here and have people say, oh, you're a racist. Well, I have to tell you how I'm not a racist?
That's right.
Like, give me a break.
That's right. One last point about that. I think most white people are afraid of blacks because the blacks are so violent. And so if whites disagree, the first thing they do is get mad and want to fight. And whites just don't feel like fighting. They're not into fighting for those reasons, right? But I got to ask you this, Orin. It doesn't make sense to me, and I need your help. So I'm very familiar with Inglewood, California. For a long time, the land has been very cheap over there. The rent is cheap. Rented an office building or home is cheap over there. No one was building. The black people just sat around. They didn't take advantage of the cheap land, the cheap rent. They didn't do anything with it. They just sat around and complained, looking at the white folks. It reminded me of when I went to Israel and I would walk around Israel, I would look at the Palestinians over in the city of David, looking at the Jews, mad at the Jews, won't even clean their own yard, but they're sitting around mad at the Jews, and all the opportunities that they're looking for is right at hand. Likewise, in Inglewood, California, for so long, opportunities have been there for black people to gain wealth by investing in real estate, by whatever they need to do, right? All of a sudden, the Rams decide, well, we're going to rebuild the stadium. That means that everything's going to increase, right? White people see these opportunities coming. They're going in and taking advantage of the opportunities. And the best thing black people can do is cry gentrification. That doesn't even make sense to me. They had the opportunity to sit in there for years, and they did nothing about it.
Well, let's actually break this down in two ways. First of all, I would imagine, I mean, you could probably find these numbers. I would imagine the percentage of welfare recipients in Inglewood is rather high. And so, you know, whenever you get on a stipend like that, your work ethic goes down.
Yes.
And so I think that that's a major issue here. I mean, here's the deal, Jesse. You didn't get where you are with your TV show, with your radio show, with your books, with your websites by not working.
That's right.
My guess is you spent a lot of days working 20 hours a day, working your fingernails to the bone, because that's what it takes.
Yes.
And absolutely that's what it takes. I have this exact same story. And so for most people, that's what it takes to be successful. I mean, most people in this country, it takes hard work to be successful. Even rich people that maybe were born with a silver spoon in their tongue, most of them still have to work really hard to maintain that success. Now, some people may jack off and be lazy or whatever, and so whatever. You don't even see those people, quite frankly. You never even see those people.
Right.
The average person, whether they're rich and white or black, worked their tail off to obtain that. So yeah, you in Inglewood, you could have been there, and instead of taking welfare for 5 years or 10 years or whatever, and sitting at your apartment on the back porch, you know, drinking a 40-ounce Old English, you could have been working 20 hours a day.
Right.
You could have been trying to build a business. You could have been looking for a plot of land to start a restaurant.
Yes.
Hell, you could have just opened up a coffee truck and probably made some money off that.
That's right.
And now what happens, Jesse? Oh my gosh. New commerce is moving into this area. My business value just went up 40%, 50%, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, but I sat on my hands, and so now I can't take advantage of this great opportunity. Now, again, part of me says, okay, what do you do if someone comes in, rents goes up, and leasers and everybody can't afford it? I mean, the government has and can write laws about rent increase and all of that stuff, and there is some of that on the books. I don't politically agree with that because I'm for less government.
Yeah.
So my policy would be less government, less government. But if they're going to complain about anybody, they need to complain about the politicians that allowed this to happen. Because Democrat politicians, they need Stan Kroenke's money. That city and that state is desperate, as you know. And so people that are complaining because the rent is going to be too high, I'm sorry, the Democrats are not going to listen to you. They need money.
They're broke.
Yep. They need commerce desperately. And so, yes, Stan Kroenke is going to have his will basically in Inglewood. And that, I think, is pretty much finalized. But, you know, Jesse, you said something earlier I wanted to touch on. And I know we've touched on this before, but this is the key part of this. If white people really believe black people are all violent or gangbangers or something like that, that's because of the Jay-Z's, that's because of the MTV's, that's because of the rap hip-hop culture. Now, people can go back and look at the CIA launching the rap and hip-hop or taking it over in the 90s, pitting cops against black people, pitting black people against white people, pitting black people against the world, really.
Yeah.
And then, but that's just kind of like low-level propaganda for the people consuming it. The real propaganda is that you then put all the imagery out there, which is the rap videos, the MTV stuff, the Snoop Dogs. And so what are people seeing when they tune in to media and they see black media?
Yeah.
They're seeing drug culture. They're seeing gang culture. They're seeing a violent culture. Well, that's not all black culture is. You have black churches that are some of the most powerful churches that you're ever going to experience.
Right.
You had Black Wall Street in Tulsa, which did get burned down by a bunch of white racists. But the point is, There's all this black history. There's all black culture in this country, but they only highlight, and it's all manufactured too. They highlight, oh, gangbang culture, drug dealer culture. And then that's what the youth sees on TV. That's what people see on TV. So it's just natural human tendency. That's all you're exposed to. So then that becomes what you expect, even though that's totally not fair. So I just wish, instead of blaming white people, and maybe it's white people that ran the CIA and the FBI and MTV at the time, fair enough, but to sit here and say, oh, you know, white people are racist or anything like that, well, yeah. let's take a look at the images that black men like Jay-Z have put out there that have stuck to black people. I mean, how come you want to know why black people are afraid of, or white people are afraid of black people because they think they're drug dealers or gangbangers? Well, ask Jay-Z. Go watch a Jay-Z video. Maybe you'll have an idea.
But the interesting thing is Jay-Z and Beyonce and Snoop Dogg and all those people, they're afraid of blacks too, because the first thing they do when they make money, they don't build a house in the hood. They go to the valley in the white people community and build homes. Because in reality, blacks are afraid of blacks, too. They know if they set up shop in the black community, they're going to get robbed. They're going to be killed, possibly killed. They know, but they won't clean up the mess themselves. They leave the communities and leave the rest of the poor blacks there. They know what's going on. I got to ask you this, man, and then I got to let you go. I can't be talking to you all day. I can go on and on with you.
But by the way, though, you know, when you're talking about that, another thing too is, once like the Jay-Z's and the Beyonce's get money, they don't want to go back to
that's
the hood,
right.
And they know that now the people in the hood that were like, "Oh, you left the hood, you're too good for us," they hate them now.
That's right. Look at Big Mama and the Fallen Messiah, Barack Obama. When they left the White House, they didn't move to the hood. They moved to Washington D.C., built a big, beautiful home, put a fence around it. To keep the hood out of their home. They did not move into the hood. So they know what's going on. But I got to ask you this last question. I need a short answer, unfortunately. One of my greatest concerns right now is that Americans are hiring by voting in Muslims into our government. We have Muslims in Congress. We have Muslims in state and local government around the country. Muslims don't like us. They hate Christians. They hate Jews. We're infidels. And I haven't heard them apologize for that. And this woman, Ilhan Omar and Rashida, whatever her name is, they're making it clear that they don't like us. Why are Americans voting these people into our government? That's such a dangerous thing to do.
Well, this is a really complex issue. For Ilhan Omar's district, you're looking at a very strong Somali population.
Yeah.
And I'm not as well informed when it comes to Rashida Tlaib's district or some of the other Muslims in Congress. We do now have more Muslims in Congress than ever before. And I think that
should I be concerned?
Jesse, this is honestly a tough one. I would say I would be concerned with Ilhan Omar, not because necessarily that she's Muslim. I mean, we'll play this game. Okay, fine, she's Muslim. That's okay. You have the right to exercise your religion. The reason why I would be afraid of an Ilhan Omar is just look at what she says. Look at what she's done. Marrying her brother to get him a green card, totally discounting September 11, 2001. I mean, how are her feet not being held to the fire on
right.
That is incredible to me. She says some people did something. Well, wait a second. Well, who did something?
Right.
I mean, somebody did something. Yeah, you're right. Someone did something. Absolutely. Somebody murdered tens of thousands of people that day. Overall, the people that have died is now over 10,000. It's close to 20,000 now. So, yeah, somebody did something. We want to know who and why. That's not just something you discount. So basically, she's insinuating it wasn't radical Islam. So fine. If you don't think it was Osama bin Laden and radical Islam that wants to destroy the West that was responsible for 9/11, tell us who you think it was. Let's actually have a debate. But no, she intentionally leaves it ambiguous so that she makes all the headlines and then people are like nitpicking at her.
Yes.
And then she can say, oh, you're Islamophobic. Well, wait a second. I was told Islam hates my guts, wants to murder me, killed us on 9/11,
yep.
Continues to engage in terror around the world. So how am I Islamophobic if that's what's happening? So But she doesn't even say that's what's not happening. So that's the crazy thing about it. They want to have their cake and eat it too, Jesse. So I would be more afraid of what Ilhan Omar is saying, and then see. I mean, let's see what comes in the next election and the next election. Are we going to have more Muslims coming into Congress?
Well, we just voted in one.
Are they going to feel more empowered?
They just voted in one in Pennsylvania, in the local government there. And when they were swearing this woman in, a black Muslim, they were swearing her in. One of the representatives prayed. She gave a prayer. It was the Lord, you know, our prayer, the Lord's Prayer. The Muslim woman got mad about that and said it was offensive and it was racist and it was this or that. When I become president, I'm shipping all these Muslims back. I'm shipping them back so fast it's going to make their head swim.
So you're actually going to have a Muslim ban. They keep saying Muslim ban. There's no Muslim ban.
Yes, I'm going to have one. They got to go. I don't want Allah around me.
There was actually a law on the books I think it was like over 100 years ago, barring the religion of Islam from the United States because it was not deemed a religion, rather...
I'm putting it back on the book.
A government. But you know, why do they want to come here if it's so bad?
That's right.
I mean, that's another thing. Like, why, if we're at war with radical Islam, why are they all coming here?
That's right.
So it's all
convoluted.
And if
they're so tough over here, why can't they be tough in their own country? Why don't they go over there and speak out? This woman, Omar, came from Somalia, from a refugees camp. She was in prison over there. She going to come here and be tough? I would send her back home so fast. Or I'm telling you, it would make her head swim. She wouldn't know what happened.
Well,
I got to go.
I am concerned about it, Jesse. I'm just concerned about the clash of civilizations more than anything.
Look at Europe. Just
in worldwide history, it never works. It never works.
Look what's happening in Europe.
Civilization never works, exactly.
They're taking over Europe, and white people going to jail. They're killing and raping and robbing, and whites can't even speak up in their own land, in their own country. Oh, I got to go. We're going too long. Tell the folks how to get you.
I'll be live today, 3 to 6 p.m. Central. I'm live 3 to 6 p.m. Central every weekday at Infowars.com/show or Infowars.com/war room. And that's where you can find all of the archives of everything we do. As I'm sure you know, Jesse, all my live broadcasts have been banned from social media. Yeah. The War Room is not allowed on Twitter or Facebook or YouTube. And me personally, as an individual, have been banned from YouTube or Facebook. So, I mean, I could be sitting here crying racism. Look at me. I'm a white man. I'm getting banned. But, of course, we know that that's not the case. But, Jesse, it's always fun to talk to you, man. It's always great. I'm so glad we got this lined up so that you're coming on with me once a month. I'm coming on with you once a month. It's always fun.
Absolutely. I enjoy talking to you, man. I could go on and on. And for 29 years old, you are a wise young man. Keep it up.
Well, I'm very blessed. I thank God every day. I've experienced a lot for someone my age, and I don't take a second for granted.
Have you ever heard of Savage Travis?
I have now. And so Savage Travis, maybe someday I'll meet you.
Yeah,
hey,
he
if he's lucky, he'll be on the yacht with you later.
That's right. Have a good one, man. Thank you.
All right, Jesse. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, buddy. Amazing. Amazing.